Blog Talk Radio.
The clock goes tick tock, your heartbeat tip up. You know there's something greater you're called to be. You shut tight your eyes and breathe in.
Welcome to Shapeshifting. God, I love that song. One of these days, I'm just going to have to play the whole thing for you because it just goes on and gets better and better, and the message that Faith Rivera is given in that song just it kicks my ass every time. And who am I? I am Lisa Bonnice, author of Shapeshifting, Reclaiming Your Perfect Body, a holistic look at health, body image, and weight issues. And today, my guest is none other than Jonathan Goldman, the expert on sound healing and author of The 7 Secrets of Sound Healing, released by Hay House, in case you're interested. Jonathan is a former blues and rock musician and filmmaker, and he had a transformational experience which changed his life, kind of like we all have. But this happened back in the 1980s. He founded both the Sound Healers Association, which he directs, which is dedicated to education and awareness of sound and music for healing, and Spirit Music, of which he is CEO, producing music for meditation, relaxation, and self-transformation. His CD collaboration with Tibetan chant master Lama Tashi, which was called Tibetan Master Chants, was nominated for a 2006 Grammy Award for Best Traditional World Music. Not too shabby, huh? He has also worked with masters of sound from both the scientific and spiritual traditions and has been empowered by the Dalai Lama's chant master to teach Tibetan overtone chanting. He is also the founder of World Sound Healing Day, which occurs every year on Valentine's Day. And I'll be talking to Jonathan in just a few minutes, and we'll be taking your phone calls at 646-716-8716 and your chat room questions a little later on in the show. But in the meantime, I want to talk just a little bit about what's been going on in the shape-shifting world. The ascension process is really heating up, isn't it? At least according to my own experience and those of the people I talk to on a regular basis, everyone I know is reporting feeling exactly the same way, only completely different. I mean, we're all having our own individualized versions of the same energy patterns. You know, it's the same vibe that's coursing through the world, but our own filters are spinning out our own ways of looking at it. For example, 2 weeks ago, we were all saying that we felt disconnected. That was the buzzword of the week. And just last week, everyone I knew was having problems with their banks or bank employees or something to do with the whole banking industry. It was bizarre. Everyone I talked to was telling a horror story. I even had one. And that never happens because, I just try to keep it so simple. But the weirder and more confusing it all gets, however, the more clarity seems to be available because we sort of step back from the silliness and go, whoa, what's going on here? So we're actually looking at what's true and what's real, and we're truly seeing that what we've been doing for so long really doesn't work. It's not just something that we say. We can actually see how silly and convoluted it all is. We've made it so hard to survive, and it doesn't have to be. This is all our creation, and we can create something new that works for everyone, and that's what we're up to here. I know that we keep hearing that the veil between the worlds is thinning, and there's no doubt about that, but have you ever really thought about what does that really mean? Haven't you heard that phrase a bazillion times before about the so-called veil between the worlds? I mean, it's a pretty saying, and sometimes we feel like we understand exactly what it means, but what exactly is on the other side of that veil? What is the other world? What's the veil thinning between? What can we expect to find in it? And until we know that, are we sure we even want to go there? I mean, it's got to be better than here, but do we know how to work in it once we get there? But then it hit me just not too long ago. The other world is nothing more, get this, than our dreamscape. That's the other world. It's the other world where we do exist. There can be no doubt about that. But the rules of play are a lot different. Over there in the dream world, we can instantly create any storyline we wish and steer it in any direction we choose. We can shift our shapes and even fly if we want. The only thing is, we can't be physical. Being physical wakes us up and drops us back into this world. It's the physicality that's the veil to be crossed. In this world, in the physical world, where existence depends on being physical, the rules are much more stringent because it's physical. It takes a long time for change to occur. And we've begun to learn in the past few decades and a lot more recently that we do actually have the power to change, to manifest, to create our own reality and all those things, but it takes a tremendous amount of focus and concentration. We all know this, but what does all this mean? The teachers, for example, like Abraham, have taught us about the law of attraction, and countless others, myself included, have dedicated their lives to learning how to change our physical lives with mind over matter. But it's so hard for us to imagine how to really do it because we don't really know what we're moving into. We have no concept of that reality to anchor into and pull ourselves toward. And that's one of those shape-shifting tools that I've used for a long time, that if you're trying to create something different, you imagine it in your future, and then you throw a lifeline to it and ask your future self to grab onto that rope and pull you toward it. And it really does work, but that's what I'm talking about here. But as far as this veil between the worlds thing goes, I truly believe that we are moving toward a sort of a lucid dream state where we learn to literally and physically hold it together while the rules of conduct are loosened to become more like they are in the dream world. And this is why we must become more conscious and deliberate in our thoughts, and in our words, and in our actions, because the limitations on what we can and cannot do with them are loosening. So it makes sense to just pay a little more attention to what we're doing with them. And if we can think of our dreams are the training ground where we can create instantly and at will. And I'm personally asking that it becomes a more conscious process, that I connect more consciously with my dream self. I'm actually inviting my dream self to pay attention to me so that we can sort of look at each other, you know, sort of as these mirror images, and so we can work together to find a middle ground. And that middle ground is where I believe we're headed with that dissolving veil, sort of like we have one foot in each world, only it becomes one big world, if that makes sense. This is that big 3D to 5D promise we've been hearing about. And again, we sort of understand what that means, but we don't, but we do, but we don't. We go kind of back and forth between understanding. And I think it's all the same thing, just different words to explain it. Think about this. Haven't you sometimes noticed how slippery your reality can be? How quickly some things are happening, and yet how very slowly others are to react? Haven't you noticed sometimes how surreal life is getting? In the dream world, which is by its very nature surreal, it's very fluid and can change with a flicker of a thought. Therefore, as I mentioned, it's becoming very important to be aware at all times what you're thinking and what you're giving your attention to. And I've found a trick that helps me to ensure that what I'm creating is in line with what I really want. I've noticed by doing this that I'm moving a little more quickly because I'm more confident that I'm not going to create a nightmare. And I've mentioned this trick briefly on one of my recent shows. I realized one day that it's become harder and harder to find role models because where we're going is an untraveled path without many footprints in the snow. There aren't many who have been where we're all going. We're all in this together, and we're all leading this pack, and there's only a few that have gone ahead of us. Role models are rather thin on the ground, aren't they? So it occurred to me to start looking toward my soul model. My soul model is the aspect of myself who knows how to get there, who is already there. My soul model has already made it and is cheering me on, pulling for me, and giving me guidance when I bother to ask for it. My soul model is the one who reminded me of a meditation that I made up for myself some years ago where My only focus is to bring my consciousness to the exact center point of my brain. It's a constant bring it back to center practice where I can tell if I'm off center, if I'm thinking about anything negative. It's almost like one of those little games, you know, where you roll the little BB around in the plastic disc until you get the ball into the hole. You know what I'm talking about? And once the BB of your consciousness lands in the center of your brain, you are at the center point and completely in the now moment. And when you're in the now moment, you are connected to your soul model, and you cannot make any wrong decisions. You cannot create anything that is not in your highest good, and therefore in the highest good for all. And once again, the phrase harm none comes into play. Keeping in mind, of course, that harm none means you as well. If you're harming anyone, including yourself, with your thoughts, words, or actions, then you are not at center point. You are not connected to your soul model. So this is actually one of the easiest tools to use that I've found so far. Whenever I'm questioning what to do, where to go, what to think, whatever, whenever anxiety is gnawing away at the back of my brain, I remember my soul model and ask, sort of like the old what would Jesus do question, I ask, what would my soul model do? What would be the steps she takes in this circumstance to get her to where she is now? I ask her directly. I ask my soul model for guidance, and the answer always comes, again, if I bother to ask. And try it. You'll see. And if you need help figuring out how to do this, it's really very simple, but I know sometimes you hear somebody else explaining something, and you're like, what? I don't get it. So if this sounds kind of weird and hard to understand, go ahead and contact me. I'm easy to get a hold of. You can join my Yahoo group where we talk about all kinds of things. You can find a link to that group at my website at shapeshiftingonline.com. And if you want more information about shapeshifting in general or about how I lost 50 pounds by simply becoming more consciously connected, pick up a copy of my book, Shapeshifting, Reclaiming Your Perfect Body, wherever books are sold. And I actually think that's enough commercials for now. I didn't mean to go off on that tangent, but hey, what the heck. let's get to the meat of the show. As I mentioned at the top of the hour, Jonathan Goldman is my guest. I can't wait to talk to him. He is considered to be one of the founders of modern sound healing, pioneering the field for more than 25 years. He's been around for a while. He's an award-winning musician and writer and the author of over 4 books and 20 CDs. I've heard several of them, and they are amazing. His work combines the spiritual and scientific aspects of sound as a healing and transformational modality. And if you want to ask Jonathan any questions, we'll be taking your calls a little later on. Go ahead and jot down the number, 646-716-8716, and you can also jump into the chat room and ask a question. There's lots of folks in the chat room already. Hi, guys. I recognize a lot of names. Good to see you in there. But back to Jonathan. I first became aware of Jonathan several years ago when a friend of mine, who is also a sound healer and who studied under Jonathan Goldman, led a crystal bowl meditation and used Jonathan's Ultimate Om CD as the background chant, and I was so blown away by Ultimate Om, which, by the way, was named one of the top 20 New Age CDs, that I bought a copy and use it regularly. And maybe if we ask him real purdy, he'll play a segment for us later on today. Jonathan, are you there?
I certainly am, Lisa. How are you?
I am wonderful. It is so good to hear your voice.
Well, indeed, and it's great to be talking to you. And it's interesting, you're talking about crystal balls and all that stuff, because the next CD, not the one that I have, one that's currently coming out probably within this next week, called 2012 Ascension Harmonics, which is really pretty a cool title. But the one after that is called Crystal Bowls Chakra Chants, and it basically was done in conjunction with the Crystal Bowl fellows from Crystal Tones, and it's quite a lovely chakra chant, crystal bowl resonating thing, which I think is going to really... So we love crystal bowls, we love toning, and I love being able to share with you on the show today. Thank you so much.
Wow, that's fantastic. Now, when is that coming out? The crystal
That one has got a big question mark, because we're like the recording is so spectacular that we're trying to come up with a really spectacular looking cover, because it's just so important these days. You know, I have this new book, The 7 Secrets of Sound Healing, and I very, very much like the information that's in the book, but I think it also looks spectacular. And I remember working with the thank you very much. And I remember working with the artist saying, you know, people say you can't judge a book by looking at its cover. But you know what? People do.
Yeah.
I said, let's create something that's just going to jump off the shelf. So it's really interesting the role of graphics these days.
It is. Of
course, I'm here to talk about sound, not visual. So ask away, my friend.
Well, they go hand in hand. It's all vibrational work. It's all vibrational healing, which is actually the first secret in your. I hope you don't mind if we disclose your secrets. The first secret in the book is that everything is vibration.
Ever since I tuned into Oprah and Eckhart Tolle doing their New Earth thing, and gosh, at least once or twice a night they'd say that everything was vibration, everything was frequency. I said, oh gosh, they've got the first secret of sound healing. Now for the other six, but you know.
Yeah, that's right. Well, the funny thing is that really it shouldn't be a secret because we all learned this in seventh grade, that everything that exists is a vibrational entity. The only difference is its temperature, which decides whether it's solid, liquid, or gas. So, yes, it is all vibration, and it makes so much sense to me that sound healing really does work because it affects you vibrationally. There's no avoiding it.
Right, and I mean, just, you know, the concept of, you know, solid, liquid, gas, and that's still dealing with, if you like, for want of a better term, three-dimensional physics and consciousness.
Sure.
And I think when we get into multidimensional physics and consciousness, then you have what the ancient mystics and the, you know, modern physicists are in agreement that everything is in vibration, but we're dealing with an aspect of vibration that probably is greater simply than the molecules or the being in motion or the electrons moving around the nucleus of an atom, but we're dealing with something more. I say this because as I was listening to your show and, you know, you're, you know, discussing shape-shifting and really the ability of our consciousness to be able to just really affect and co-create reality, that is dealing with a much greater than a three-dimensional consciousness, because you can't do that from a 3D point of view.
Absolutely. Absolutely true. Yes. I am in total agreement with that. Well, even shamans, people who do shamanic journeying, they listen to the drumming sounds in order to shift their consciousness so they can actually go on the shamanic journey into the other worlds.
Right, and actually this new recording that is, I think, going to be out in a couple of days, actually. I like to be able to say that. Until it's out my front door, I can't say it's out, although it's been manufactured. But once again, this 2012 Ascension Harmonics is like a fabulous, for me, tool that I've used for shamanic journeying. It really is a major consciousness-altering sonic experience, and one that I've used personally and privately in workshops for many years, but only recently been given permission, for want of a better term, to release it to the public, because it was so powerful and yet so necessary that people begin to shift their consciousness now and realize that we need to create a co-collective reality that is one of harmony and kindness and love for this planet continue, I was going to say, but really the planet will continue, for the human species to continue.
Well, I'm certainly looking forward. I didn't even know you were releasing this, but I can't wait till it comes out. I assume that people can order it from your website, healingsounds.com, is that correct? When it's out the door?
When it's out, and it'll probably be at Borders and on Amazon and all those other places, et cetera, et cetera. But, the use of, I'm sort of jumping ahead now. I know you probably had some questions for me.
Oh, sure. But,
as you mentioned, I'm a bit of an old-timer in this field now, having been in it 25, 30 years, and as I am scratching my almost gray beard, but not quite, I like to say that, you know, my focus of attention has been on healing sounds. In fact, that's the name of my website. My first book is Healing Sounds, etc. But really, it's in the last 3 to 5 years, my focus of attention has gone from exclusively working with personal healing sounds to working with planetary healing sounds, because I believe that it's just so vital and necessary for us to basically work as a co-collective order working with intentionalized sound to change the consciousness on the planet.
Right. Yes, absolutely. I'm in total agreement. In fact, that kind of brings me to a question that I do want to ask you about. You were talking in the book, first of all, the way that you switched your life was that you used to be a rock and roller, and you realized that the music that you were playing was, you know, creating this negative condition in the nightclubs that you were playing in. And do you want to tell just a little bit about that? Because I do want to jump off from there.
Yeah, and I do want to say, too, that just as a, you know, quick thing, that the experience that I had, well, you know, the experience that I had was that I had been probably performing professionally for 15 years, and all of a sudden, one night when I was on stage, I became aware that the music that I was creating was helping induce an ambiance of negativity and violence. Now, no doubt the alcohol and all the other intoxicants that people were imbibing and was doing this, but that the music was also doing it, and I had the thought, gee, I wonder if music could be used to make people feel better. And from there, about 2 weeks later, the thought, gee, I wonder if music could be used to make people heal, and then I wonder if sound could be used to heal people, and all of a sudden the world shifted and changed for me. So that's the story, but the thing that I want to backtrack on is for about 3 years after that experience, a lot of the books that I read said, oh, you know, rock and roll was the devil's music or whatever. And, and I put down my electric guitar, and then I suddenly came to the realization, well, this is nonsense, because you can't take any one particular genre and say, well, this is good, and any one particular genre and say this is bad, including rock and roll, because by gosh and by golly, Lisa, I think some of the most positive music in the world was, for example, rock and roll music created by the Beatles. What higher consciousness could you get than all you need is love? And in the end, the love you take is equal to the love you make. Ah, gosh.
Yep. Absolutely. I've long been convinced that the Beatles were channeling God. But I think that goes with our generation. You have to be kind of old to get that, don't you? Go ahead.
No, yes, but at the same time, that and in the end, the love you take is equal to the love you make seems to be, you know, as I, you know, then got into mysticism and I would find all these different things from Tibetan Buddhism to the concept of law of karma and all that stuff, that's probably the best definition of, you know, karma is, and in the end, the love you take is equal to the love you make, as well as the, if you like, purpose. When people are on their deathbeds, man, they don't think about how much time they spent on the internet or how much money they made. They really think about how much love they manifested and did receive.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's where, when I read that about how you had this realization, that this also, we'll get into this in a minute, but it also goes into what you're talking about with adding sound to intent. Again, I want to get to that in a minute. But what I'm wondering is, this reminded me of, I wish I could, I couldn't find the article this morning, but I remember reading about a weapon that they had created to use in crowd dispersion, where it was a sound that they would play that would make people ill and anxiety-ridden and run away. And at the time, I thought, first of all, wow, how terrifying. But secondly, and most importantly, why didn't they flip the coin, and instead of putting out a terrifying sound, why didn't they put out the kind of sound that would bring people into a blissful state? Why can't they do that instead?
May I answer that?
I would love to hear an answer to that question.
Okay, so what you're talking about are extremely low frequencies that were developed and have been known about for many years, and being able to do these very low frequencies that are below our level of hearing that actually cause people to be nauseous and, you can induce anxiety. And this has actually been known about for quite a long time. I won't get into the story about where it initially stemmed from, but it was has never been used positively. And, you know, your question is why? And I'm just going to, now we're going to step in the Wayback Machine. God, is that a reference to Rocky and the Flying Squirrel? And we're going to go
You're
back
so
to about
old.
The... Well, I know I am, but I am a child at heart. And we go back to you know, the mid-1980s, and I'm on a panel at something called the Theosophical Society in Boston. And there are all these, at the time, major well-known healers talking about, you know, their modality. And somebody asked the question, well, can your whatever you're doing be used for an improper purpose? So, and everyone, without question, said no, no, no. And I was the last person. I said, you know, you're all deluding yourself, because anything that can be used positively also can be used negatively. And unfortunately, that, of course, goes with sound as well. But, I mean, there's literally no modality on the planet that can't be reversed if your intention is there. But then again, you know, when your intention is there to reverse it and misuse something, it just simply means that you haven't awakened, that you're asleep, and that you're working with a consciousness that is based upon fear and greed. Okay, I'm done talking.
So do you suppose that there could be something that, I mean, if it was used with intent, like, for example, let's just say the ultimate Om sound.
Right,
if
yeah.
that was played for a crowd of rioting-type people, used with proper intent, would that, do you suppose, help to calm down the whole riotous vibe of the place?
God, you ask such good questions, because first and foremost, I'm going to tell you that I would love to at some point talk about the Temple of Sacred Sound, which is the global use of these types of sounds. But I want to tell you that I did a recording with Greg Braden called The Divine Name. And it's a wonderful, lovely, lovely sound. It sounds a lot like the ultimate Om, but it's another one, one of the sacred names. And I got a email from a person in the Sheriff's Department in Los Angeles, where they are playing this recording in the, I don't know what you call it, the courtyard of prisons, where prisoners go out and have their exercise breaks or whatnot. And usually there's all sorts of violence and fights that break out. And instead, these guys are basically sitting around pretty docile, having a really good time, and when the music isn't there, they're complaining, put it back on, we want to experience that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty cool story.
Yeah, it is.
And,
it absolutely is.
And a validation that these sounds could take a very violent, aggressive population, and I'm not saying turn them into sheep, but I'm saying make them perhaps less aggressive and more heart-centered.
Yeah. Yeah, I can totally see how it would work. I mean, you also mentioned in your book that, and this makes sense, that if you personally don't resonate with it, like you're talking about various sounds that have been proven to heal certain people, if it doesn't work for a specific individual, or it may not work for every single person. So maybe it is sort of a wishful thinking on my part that there is just this nice, pleasant, you know, pretty sound. Well, like the CD that, the Sounds of Healing CD, the Frequencies one,
yeah.
There's a sample there of Angelic Calling. Oh my God, that
yeah.
is so beautiful. Is that the one that your wife played the harp on? Do I have that right?
Yes, that is correct. Wow, I'm impressed. Thank you. Yes, my wife Andy did play the harp on that, and I really think it's quite a lovely sound.
It's incredible.
But at the same time, I think, you know, in the book I talk about the fact that if you're able to get about 80% of a population to think that something has a particular resonance with them, you're doing well, because there's always, you know, when I do workshops, I ask people, okay, anybody here allergic to penicillin? And Lisa, without question, we at least get 10%, sometimes up to 20% of the people in the audience are allergic to penicillin. And I use this as a metaphor because of everything in the universe is in a state of vibration, is a waveform that ultimately you can perceive of penicillin as being a waveform. And I say, well, here's a waveform that is going to heal 80 to 90% of you, but for, you know, 10 to 20% of you, it's going to be toxic. And I think this is true of everything on the planet. I just don't think you're going to ever find a 100% of anything, whether it's an aroma, a sound, a pharmaceutical, or anything, or visual, that's going to have the same effect on everybody, because we're all
right.
unique vibratory beings.
True enough. Well, now, you told me before the show, we've been emailing each other for months now, that you have the ability to play sound clips here. Do you either have Ultimate Om or Angelic Calling handy where you could play a little bit of that for the audience?
Well, yes, I can, ma'am, and I'm going to get it queued up right now if you can wait for just a half a second. Now, you tell me, are you all ready? This is, I've got them both, but since we were talking about it, give me another moment and let me find Angelic Calling, because that is one of my favorites. And, so it's just going to take me, I got to now queue up to number 15, and here we go. Angelic Calling from Chakra Chance 2. Fading that out, but that's a very pretty recording, and it reminded me of an experience that I had, which I want to share with you. But I'm glad you like it. I happen to love it. I think it's just a wonderful. It has not only my wife Andy, but our dear friend Sarah Benson, who is my major mentor and teacher in the using sound as a healing modality. In my book, The Seven Secrets of Sound Healing, is actually dedicated to her, and she is the one who taught me that the true sound of healing is love. But I'm going to just jump for a moment and just because it reminded me as I was listening to this of last year about this time. I don't go to record stores too often, but there was a record store I went into in Boulder, and there was this music playing. And I'm usually able to handle every sort of music that exists. But this music was really, extraordinarily, I'm not sure what you call it. It's some sort of metal music, but it was literally causing such a reaction in my nervous system. I had to leave the store rather than leap through a window and hope that a car would hit me on the way out, because it was so terrible. And what was the first thing that I did was that a couple of days later, I basically bought the album. And I sat there and I listened to it until I found that it no longer affected me. Because I feel that ultimately one of the keys to, really ascension on a high level, is to be able to let any vibration pass through you. Because if you put up a resistance, that's the thing that affects you. So, basically what I understood about this, and at first I had to get it on sort of, why are these people creating this music that really is designed to make you anxious and feel as though, the proverbial, a fingernail going down a chalk board. But they actually did have a purpose for doing it. So as an art form, I can understand it. And then I listened to it, and after I got that, I said, okay, I got it. And that was the last time I listened to it. But once again, it's not everything is going to, because there are obviously a lot of young folks who are able to listen to this music. Their hormones are different. Their whole nervous system is different. Their way of life is different. And they're obviously able to listen to this music and may even find it calming.
True. Yeah, they're wired differently. I mean, yeah, I'm guessing we're about the same age from the references you're making.
Really
is, there is no doubt that things are very different now, and we're the old farts, you know, on the other side of the generation gap, and it's definitely something that we have to begin to look into and accept. You made an excellent point on resistance. In fact, somebody in the chat room mentioned that when you resist something, you don't allow it to flow through you. And if we're all ascending as we are, it is very important that we allow and we adapt and accept and all that good stuff. I wanted to ask you, have you seen the movie August Rush by any chance?
Of course, ma'am, and I loved it. But I got to interject real quickly. Just getting back on the whole subject of resistance, etc. Every year we do a 9-day healing sounds intensive at a place called Sunrise Ranch in Loveland, Colorado. Don't you love that name, Loveland,
it's
Colorado?
Beautiful.
And it's really, really a high vibrational place to begin. And of course, we then for 9 days work with. Creating fields of light and love through sound. So it's just, extraordinary, and it's, working on another dimensional level. But before, we have about 100 people from throughout the planet, but in order to, come, you sort of have to fill out this questionnaire, so we just make sure people are in resonance with our thing. And the one question that I always ask that I always get this particular answer is there any particular music that really disturbs you? And I would say, 95% of the time I'll get either heavy metal or rap for most of the people. And I think, okay, what I'd love to do, and I've never done it, and I don't think I ever will, but I would love to have a day where we just sat and listened to nothing but the most disturbing music possible, and we're ultimately able to, walk away from there going, okay, that doesn't bother me anymore. But that takes, a level of, adeptness in sound that most people, including myself, can't really get. But it's really an interesting concept.
Yeah. I like Marilyn Manson, for example. I mean, I personally love Marilyn Manson, but I can see how some people just can't stand him.
Well, it's just an interesting phenomenon. And I will also say, with regard to the young folks, of which I have a 20-year-old son, and he's way cool, and he listens to a lot of modern stuff, and he also listens to a lot of the stuff that I'm a child of the Woodstock Nation. What can I say? That, I experience at Woodstock, and he also basically works with us at the Healing Sounds Intensive. So there are a lot of these beings that people call now indigos or golden children or whatnot, but who are also oscillating or vibrating at a very high frequency level and can probably be, for want of a better term, operating at two worlds at once. And I think
right. That's
really to be acknowledged.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Absolutely. But we were talking about the movie August Rush. My friend Ron and Ann turned me on to it. They just popped into the chat room. Hi, guys. I really love the scene in there where he's on the streets in New York, and all of the sounds with somebody dribbling a basketball and a jackhammer and the horns and everything turns into this symphony. And one of the first exercises in your book is to just be quiet and just listen to everything, just listen to the sounds of your everyday life. And as I was doing that, I had the windows open and I had the fan on low so I could hear this kind of a white noise of the fan and crickets and frogs and my husband banging around in the kitchen. And I was able to actually feel or hear that my world is a symphony.
And that is a brilliant demonstration of your level of consciousness. Because it really takes being able. I mean, August Rush was wonderful in terms of demonstrating that, but it really, you obviously are really attuned to vibration. You're really, really attuned to a level of listening that for many people it's quite difficult. Listening to that, refrigerator making a hum can be very, very disturbing to some people till, perhaps you suggest, try to, with your consciousness, transform it to the sound of a you know, ultimate om or a you know, group of Tibetan monks chanting, etc. In fact, I'm going to tell you a really quick little story, which I'm still at this moment dealing with, which was we live in Boulder, Colorado, and I had a lovely, for want of a better term, little waterfall pond built in our backyard. And we have a very small backyard, but I just wanted to experience the sound of a waterfall. I couldn't move to Hawaii, so I thought I'd go there to Hawaii. So it's a place where I'll sit and pray and meditate. And a couple of days ago, my beloved next-door neighbor, who lives very close to me, and I know if he'd known this was going to happen, wouldn't have done it, but he basically had installed one of these huge air conditioning units, and now it just drones and drowns out the pond. And I literally sat there in a state of, not the most pleasing a place to be, and I'm going, how am I going to deal with this? How am I going to deal with it? And then I went to bed, and whomever I work with, whether you call them guides or whatnot, said, listen, simply make a recording that is going to mask or, if you like, nullify the sound of this thing. And so I got myself then a little CD, boom box, and put some batteries in, made a recording with this sound of an ah and these ocean sounds, and put it. And it basically cancels it out. So, I suppose I could probably sit there and learn to listen to this huge air conditioning unit and turn it into an ohm. But by gosh and by golly, the fact that it was drowning out the wonderful natural sounds of the pond is like using sound to combat sound and nullify it. Anyway.
Well, you mentioned the Om again. I definitely want you to play a clip of this. But one of the things I wanted to ask you about the Ultimate Om CD, that's what, like 100 or so voices all chanting Om, something like that? Is that correct?
Probably actually a lot more, Lisa. This was done in the studio working with it. But, yes, hundreds and hundreds of voices, because now with the new modern digital equipment, it's really pretty easy to take and track and change voices and stuff like that.
Right.
So, in fact, I'm going to bring this up for just a second so people can hear, because as long as we're here, we'll just hear a little, this is what it sounds like. But we can talk over it for a second, then I'll bring it up, because you're going to say, but you can't hear an ohm on this.
Right, it turns into this incredible harmonic, it's almost like a ringing sound, and I wonder if after we hear this, if you can explain, how does that happen? These are voices saying the word ohm, and
right,
it turns into this exquisite ringing. So I'll shut up now
go.
And let you play it.
Whoa, just for a second. So just a little bit of Ultimate Om. Where's the Om? I mean, okay, so I'll tell you why I created that, first of all. And it was just, if you ever are in a group of people who are toning a sacred sound like an Om or an Ah or whatnot, nobody is beginning to breathe at this. Ultimately, people don't begin to breathe at the same time. They begin to breathe at different times, and therefore the ohms overlap each other, and all of a sudden you get this sort of seamless blanket of sound that occurs, such as that. And it's a really remarkable, remarkable experience, and I thought, well, gee, I would love to create that as a sound, because before that there was a very, very successful recording of somebody going, ohm, ohm. It's very nice, but I could also tell that what it was simply somebody going, ohm, once, and then technically looping it for an hour. And the, if you like, part of me that was, wanted something more, said, let me take it to another level. What if you had, like, you know, thousands of people going, ohm, and all of a sudden you had this undulating waveform. And there are people who use that recording, for example, 24/7 in their stores, where they just have it playing very, very gently in the background, and yet it creates a field so that when customers walk in, they get into this place of really harmony and balance, even if they're stressed out. Because what happens, Lisa, basic bottom line, the sound goes into our ears, into our brain, affects our nervous system, affects our heart rate, respiration, and brain waves. So listening to something like Ultimate Ohm really creates this very, very calming, soothing effect, just as listening, for the most part, to that other recording that I was telling you about that drove me out of the music store, for the most part, by its natural means, would cause increase of heartbeat, increase of respiration, increase of brainwave activity. Actually, then you'd be getting adrenaline being pumped up, and that's why people would be listening to that, is that they would get an adrenaline rush from listening to that, heavy metal type of music has a physiological effect, which, you know, when you're young, I guess it's really cool to be on all the time. When you get older, what happens is that your adrenals begin to burn out, and then you get no energy, so you can't listen to it. true fact.
Really? I'll be darned.
So, you know, I could give you lots of scientific facts about anything also. If you got any questions about that, I will be glad to answer any questions about stuff, because I know I used to be, as I write in the initial intro to The Seven Secrets of Sound Healing, I used to be a walking encyclopedia of sound, and I've, you know, been, you know, downloading and, you know, getting rid of a lot of the information, but I still, you know, maintain more than I wish to, so I'm happy to answer any questions.
You're the expert guy, huh? That's very cool. Well, I do want to ask you, at least we're getting low on time. This is going so fast, and I want to make sure that we get all of our questions answered. I do want to ask you about the frequency plus intent equals healing, because I think that's one of the most powerful things in the book, and we discussed it briefly, but I'd love to give you a chance to expound on that just a little bit.
Thank you. Well, very, very quickly, sorry we were running out of time. Oh,
well,
happened.
You know what? We can go. It's up to you. We can run over. The show will continue to record. It's just the live listeners won't be able to hear it. So it just depends on whether you've got the time to go over or not. So
now we'll keep with our live listeners and honor them, because I can also change time with the sound. So I'll speak quickly, or at least I will not tell stories and simply say, yes, I have got to tell a story. But the formula was this: frequency plus intent equals healing. Frequency means the sound, the actual sound. Sound travels as a waveform, and this waveform is measured in cycles a second, or frequency. And basically, at the time, and it was once again dating myself, I was working on a computer that was using a DOS operating system. So we know how long ago that was, and I literally had a stack of papers that was probably a foot high, and the stack of papers was basically composed of different people's systems of using sound music for healing. And this was great. It was in the mid-80s. I was really excited. But the trouble was that none of these systems were in, if you like, collaboration or in agreement with each other. And I remember sitting in front of this computer with my head in my hands in a state of intellectual angst. And I went, oh, my goodness gracious, how can this be? How can this be? When I heard a voice distinctly say, it is not only the frequency of the sound that creates its effect, it is also the intention of the person creating the sound. And I wrote the words, frequency plus intent equals healing. By intent, I mean the energy behind the sound, the consciousness of the person creating the sound. And very, very simply for your listeners, I will say that I think we have all experienced at some point in time and space going to a party and seeing somebody that you might have issues with. This in-person work walks up to you and says, oh, lovely to see you. And you feel like you've been psychically slimed. Where the words, you know, the frequency was, you know, one thing, the sound, but the intention was very, very different. So that I think that this really, really also is one of the major important indications of how different sounds can really, really affect us, depending upon our belief system and depending upon the intention of the person creating the sound. And of course, any time that I make a recording or I make, you know, a sound or whatnot, I work really asking that the energy of the sound, if you like, be for the highest betterment, not only of the individual, but of the planet itself.
Wow. Okay. Well, that actually sort of leads into what I wanted to ask you about. First, again, we talked about this briefly, but you say that you've been focusing your work in the last few years specifically for this whole ascension thing toward global healing, and I would love to hear you tell us more about what exactly you're doing. You mentioned that you have your 2012 CD coming out, but tell us anything you want to about that, because that's big stuff.
Okay, well, I just really, really, really got this once again, you know, some years ago, this, if you like, focus of attention from not only personal healing sounds, but planetary healing sounds as well. And I was guided to create something called the Temple of Sacred Sound. And, of course, like everything else, it, you know, doesn't mean that it's going to manifest immediately. But I did actually then co-create something with thousands of other sound healers on the planet called World Sound Healing Day, which would be February 14th, which is, of course, Valentine's Day. And it's a day when we make the heart sound, the ah sound, which is considered the heart sound from throughout the planet. And people would make it all together, generating love and appreciation to the Mother Earth. And this is actually a measurable phenomena. And then for this most recent World Sound Healing Day, we were actually able to manifest the Temple of Sacred Sound, which is the world's first virtual toning chamber, where there are three different toning chambers. There's an ah sound, there's a you sound, and there's an om sound, coupled with these beautiful sacred geometric videos going on. And if you want, you can even plug in a microphone and sound along, and it sounds like you're in, like, you know, virtual Taj Mahal or the King's Chamber or whatnot. But that has been, I think, a very, very important, if you like, initiatory experience in the history of the Internet, because the Internet, for the most part, has been the, if you like, the neural net, the global mind of the planet. And the question is, how
right.
do you activate the global heart? Because really, it's mandatory to activate the global heart. Otherwise, you have, as you know, the character that Jeff Goldblum played in the Jurassic Park when he was talking about the, you know, scientists making dinosaurs. You said your people are so interested in asking if you can do something that you don't ask if you should. So it's necessary for us to activate the global heart, which tells us lovingly and compassion if we should do something. How do you do that? And the answer is with sound. In many different traditions, sound is a connecting link between the mind and the heart. And so therefore we have the Temple of Sacred Sound. For anyone interested, it's www.templeofsacredsound.org, and it's free. It doesn't cost anything. We don't even ask people for their you know, email addresses or anything. I was just guided to just make this accessible to the planet, and we have.
Wow.
I also want to invite people to come to our www.healingsounds.com website, which is also a great place to go. It's got everything from you know, vibratory research and articles and information, etc., to if you're interested in getting different sonic tools and stuff like that. So, you know, I mean, Lisa, I just, you know, I'm not saying that I'm a, you know, total altruist, but I really think at this point in time and space that I, you know, that working to empower people with the ability of sound to heal and transform is just so important.
Yeah, it really is. And you're doing amazing, just amazing work. You've also got, I don't know too much about this, I've just seen lots of banner ads around the net. You've got a an online seminar tomorrow.
Thank you. Yes. Oh, by gosh, my God, thank you so much. Yes, and people, it's going to be starting at 4 p.m. Pacific time, and it's a two-hour seminar, and it's really, it's great. I've been spending a really long time creating this Secrets of Sound Healing seminar with, you know, a little of the information that, you know, we gave out today, and much, much more, because it's really planned as a coherent online course, because what better vehicle to be able to use for teaching sound than the audio aspect of the internet. And so if anybody's interested, simply go to hayhouseradio.com. That's Hay House Radio, and there's information on the Jonathan Goldman it's actually Secrets of Sound Healing. I don't know if I'm going to get to all seven, but we're going to get to the primary ones.
Yeah, we've only got to two on this show.
Right.
But
and
you,
you know,
you also have your own radio show that you just, you do what, monthly? And you just recorded one like minutes before this show. So
yes, I did. That's right. Well, and, I mean, that's basically, I think healthylife.net is the call numbers for that one. I do it, you know, every second Tuesday. They would like me to do it daily if I could, but I just, there are too many other things. It's as you know, wearing all these hats in this day, and I think there's also an acceleration of time and more things going on. But anyway, that's the second Wednesday. Did I say Tuesday? Boy,
yes,
days
you did,
are
Wednesday. Wednesday.
Yes, Wednesday. We are. Today is Wednesday. Okay, very good. Yes. And it's a great thing. And instantly, just a real quick thing, you know, looking over your website and talking about actually shifting and changing DNA, I think there's also ways of working with sound in a very, very powerful manner that can do this. Particularly, I have a recording called Holy Harmony that is, many people have said that the frequencies on that have a major DNA, if you like, attunement capabilities. And
wonderful.
So,
well, I will put a link to that on the shapeshiftingonline.com website, and I assume you can get Holy Harmony on your website and at Amazon and any other place that you can get CDs. Now, are you on iTunes by any chance? Can people get your music
on
iTunes?
Sure.
Okay.
Yes, indeed. Cool. Yes, indeed.
Very good.
We're there. And we're all over. Thank you.
Well, we've got about 2 minutes left. Do you have anything else that we have not gotten to? Because I want to make sure we get it all.
Yep.
We didn't get anywhere near all of it in, but go ahead.
No. And this is real fast. We all have the most extraordinary instrument for healing. Doesn't require electricity, doesn't require batteries, and the owner's manual is very easy to use, and that is our voice. We can all learn to use our voice to resonate and change and vibrate different parts of our physical body, our etheric field, our brain. Now, we are not talking about getting in front of an audience and singing a tune to entertain people. That is indeed performance art and entertainment. Here we are dealing with the phenomena of entrainment, or what I call frequency shifting. So everyone, without question, has the ability of using their own self-created voice for healing, and this is called toning. I'll be talking about that a lot more tomorrow for the Hay House course, but I want all of you to know. And if you say, well, what is he talking about? Just think about the last time that you stubbed your toe. And when you stubbed your toe, you probably sounded forth with an ow type of sound, because the body normally uses sound as a great vehicle for release, as a great vehicle for resonance, as many, many different things, for the release of endorphins to help reduce the pain. So just a quick thing, we all can use sound for healing. And all you need to do is find out a little more information. So all of a sudden you go, I can do this. And then working with work such as you're doing, Lisa, boy, you can do shape-shifting up the yin-yang, as I like to say, because sound coupled with intentionality, with consciousness, is the most powerful vehicle on the planet. There is a reason most prayers are spoken aloud. It is because sound amplifies prayers. It amplifies our thoughts. It amplifies our consciousness.
Wow. Wow. Well, those are great words to go out on. I thank you so much. I wish we had hours because I could talk to you forever. You're so fascinating. Once again, everyone, Jonathan Goldman, healingsounds.com. We've just got a few seconds left. I want to thank everybody in the chat room. Sorry, once again, I didn't get to your calls. I was greedy and wanted them all to myself again. Next week, Lynn McTaggart. Don't forget to tune in. Jonathan, thanks again. Folks, listen to his Hay House seminar tomorrow afternoon. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks for being here. Bye.